Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'd again direct you to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and the 13th verse. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? The child of God will consider the work of God completely different than what the world will. The world and the ungodly can only consider the work of God by their natural mind and natural intellect. The real child of God, taught by the Holy Spirit, will consider the work of God by grace and by faith. Because in the new birth, one of the faculties given to the child of God in that birth is a mind to think. And it won't just think on natural things. It will think on those things that are spiritual. So, the second thing I would name before we enter into the subject is this. This is a command of God. Consider the work of God. It's not just the words of Solomon. The word is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit inspires the word like it was through Solomon, it will be a clear command to the real child of God. Consider the work of God. Well, before I go further, there's just a few things we would name. Firstly, he said, Jesus, while upon the earth, consider the lilies, how they grow. And he pointed out that these were all in the hands of God and would only grow by commission of heaven. And the Lord Jesus so often used natural illustrations to bring out the vital things of God. But then we think of that word in Haggai's writings concerning the building of the temple. And it has so rested upon me since I left it this morning what the Holy Spirit said regarding that building. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward. Not defer it, not put it off, from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. They got to prayerfully consider. And then further on in the chapter he says, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. And as they were to build that, everything had got to be prayerfully considered. And may we lay that to heart every day as we venture on from this day and upward. Prayerfully consider the ways of God, the work of God, and lay it to heart. Now, I said in introducing the subject this morning, we would look at it from three aspects. We looked a little at two this morning. The first was the wondrous work of creation and the beauties there are seen in it by the child of God. Secondly, the wondrous work of salvation, how the dear Redeemer left the realms of bliss and of glory and came into this world to suffer, bleed and die, to redeem his dear bride, his church. But the third was this. Consider the work of God in the pathway and experiences of God's dear people. And consider first of all this afternoon the work of God in us. Now, does it concern you and concern me? Has he begun that work? You know, it was a great exercise to the dear Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church in Philippi that there might be seen in them the work of God. And there are two beautiful words that come to one's heart concerning this, what he wrote to them. Firstly, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now, the apostle could view that wondrous work of God in those souls, such as in the jailer, such as in the case of Lydia. And the Lord dealt with them completely differently. But it was God's work. Consider the work of God. And how the dear apostle could see that work wondrously going on in them. And it was God that had begun it. And therefore it would stand when everything else failed. The second thing was this. He said, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? It's God that worketh in you. Some of you may be ever so tempted and tried this afternoon, Lord, hast thou begun thy work? Well, if the Lord whisper that to your poor heart, what a word of encouragement, wouldn't it? It is God that worketh in you. What for? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it is his good will and pleasure to work in his dear people, his dear children. And where that work of grace is in them, if it's in you and in me, there's a pathway that we've each got to walk. And what you're long to see is the Lord working. His wondrous work. His work to remove all that sin that weighs you down and plagues you. You think of those precious souls while the Saviour was here upon the earth. How he worked in them and removed all that sin that weighed them down, all that guilt. So he sets them free from it all. Well, you take the case of Lazarus, as I mentioned it in prayer. I hadn't thought of naming it, but you think of that household, you know. There in Bethany, there was that house that housed Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And it was a most favoured house, you know. They were all God's dear children. But what came upon them? A great trial. A great cross, really. Lazarus was sick and then died. And those two godly women needed the Lord to work, didn't they? And you look how wondrously he did work and came to the house in all the sorrow they were in. And there may be those of you this afternoon that have got many things to make you sorrowful like they had. And they needed the Lord to work and to turn that sorrow which they had into joy. And you look how he worked. It was only the Lord could do it. Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. By this time he stinketh, Martha said. So it was naturally an impossibility that he could ever be raised from that grave. But it was God that worketh. Consider the work of God. And you look what the Lord Jesus did. He wept at that grave. And then he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. It was the Lord's work to raise him. It's the Lord's work today to raise those that are dead in trespasses and sin. And it's the Lord's work to raise the sinner when they're in a low place. And oh, what a blessed hour that was, wasn't it, as Lazarus came forth. But remember, he was bound. He couldn't walk. He couldn't move his arms. The grave clothes were all about him and the napkin about his mouth so he couldn't speak. And what did the Saviour say? Those few sacred, blessed words. And may the Lord whisper it to some poor, bound, troubled sinner this afternoon. Loose him and let him go. So he could walk in the ways of the Lord. He could handle things. His soul was set at liberty. And he could speak. It was the Lord's work from beginning to end. You know what it is to consider that wonderful case when you're in the depths? Consider the work of God. And there are many characters. As I said at the commencement this morning, it's a vast subject. You think of those characters throughout the New Testament, how the Lord worked and delivered them from their afflictions, from their blindness, from their deadness, and brought them forth. Consider the work of God. Well, then you can go back to the Old Testament. And you think of how wonderfully the Lord worked, as I've often mentioned the case of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. But there's a word that, if I remember rightly, closes that beautiful chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, where we have the blessed record of the Lord working, dividing the sea, sending forth the children of Israel on dry land, and then destroying all the Egyptians in that sea. And what do we read at the close of that beautiful chapter? Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And then this word, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. That great work. It was God's work from beginning to end. Now it may be in your providential pathway. It may be in your soul. You need the Lord to work. Let me just remind you of that beautiful word in Isaiah, where the Lord said this: I will work, and who shall let it? It's a beautiful word, that is, isn't it? I will work. You may say, well, and so often you have to come to it, well, it looks impossible we can ever be delivered or brought out or set free or the Lord make a way. I will work, the Lord says. And when he says I will work, he will do it. Oh, he will. He has all power to, you see. We've got no power. Man thinks that he has great power, but you see, when it comes to considering the work of God, the poor, puny, finite man has no power at all when we compare it to the work of God. And then there's that sacred word too in the close of the 90th Psalm, that beautiful Psalm of Moses. And what does he say? Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let thy work appear. And do we not long in this dark and solemn day to see the Lord work and to appear? And it may be in your soul, it may be in your pathway, it may be in the family. You need the Lord to work. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. That means to say, don't do anything to hinder God's work. let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Consider the work of God. And this was the gracious exhortation. It's upon that the Lord seemed to so apply this right into my heart. And there's so many ways, don't we? We need the Lord to work. And throughout Zion, and throughout the churches, and then you can spread it to the nation. You think of the solemn state we're in the land. Oh, to consider. You know, we hear all this consideration about leaving the European Union and all this man's opinion and that one's opinion. What do opinions do? They only gender strife and gall a tender mind, the hymn writer said. You know, there's ever so many opinions. What we need is to consider the Lord's work, not what opinions are. And I hadn't thought of that, but you see, it comes, so I name it, but you see, oh, may the Lord so work for us in this nation and work in our leaders. Consider the work of God. And when you look back through the nation, you know, those of us that are older can remember some of it. You know, you look back how the Lord's delivered this nation and the two world wars. And in other many times of crisis, I remember in my earlier days of the Cuban crisis where the Russians, you know, were threatening to destroy America and destroy this country and many others with their atomic power. And I remember the late Mr. Herbert Dawson saying, beloved friends, Mr. Khrushchev, who was president of Russia in those days, he said he's got no power at all except it be given him from above. He said, the Lord said, and may this nation remember it, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And you think of that's a beautiful word, you know, it's in the prophecy of Joel. Fear not, O land. And may the Lord speak it throughout Great Britain today. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And when you look back in the last war, how great things the Lord did in delivering this nation. Consider the work of God. Now many forget what the Lord has done in the past. But is it not for the sweet encouragement of the Lord's dear children, they have those things they can look back at where the Lord has worked, and you can look back and stand in amazement as he has. And is it not to embolden you to go on and to consider the work of God for the future? His arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, child of God. I will work, and who shall let it? But just briefly, and I must leave it because we've got the Lord's Supper to consider, to administer, but may we just consider this. The text goes on to say, and I hadn't really intended to look at that, but he goes on to say, for consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Well, let's be very clear, no man can. They may try with all their power, but they can never make that straight which God has made crooked. You could spend the rest of your life trying to make things straight, which God has made crooked, but you never will. It's only the Lord that can do it. And that's a wonderful thing, really, you know. We read, didn't we? And let me just remind you of it. We read in Isaiah 42 this afternoon that beautiful promise. And may it be applied to each of our souls, because only He can sweetly fulfill it, can't He? He says, "This I, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." And then in chapter 45 he says, "I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron." So there are two things as we conclude. There's the wonderful promise that the Lord will work and make that straight which no man can, which He has made crooked. And we read, didn't we, in that first chapter of Ecclesiastes this morning in verse 15, "That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered." You see, the Lord must do the work. "I will work," He says, "and who will let it?" And as He wonderfully worked while here upon the earth, the dear Saviour, in the wonders of salvation and in the deliverances of His dear people, He still has the same power to work today. And what will the child of God be like when He does work? Well, two things. Firstly, they'll be humbled in the dust. They'll say, "Lord, why hast thou so favoured me to consider thy wondrous work?" And you'll be humbled in the dust and melted. The second thing will be, you'll know where to give the glory. "It'll be unto Him that loved us and hath washed us in His own heart's blood." The praise, the honour, the glory will be to the Lord. He must have the praise. This is why man cannot make crooked things straight, but God can. It's that He might have the glory. The benefit is ours. The glory belongs to the Lord. Well, may the Lord bless His word. Amen.